God works all things after the counsel of his will.
He sure does.
Even keeping those kings who want to commit adultery from committing so.
Yes.
And when he wants to, he orders those to commit adultery when he wants to.
This is probably the most... This is the part of the video where I thought, yeah, that's bad. He said, if God wants to, he will make that man commit adultery. This is putting the origin of the desire to commit adultery on God. So you mean a all-righteous, all-knowing, all-loving, all-consuming God has the desire within him to commit adultery? Hey, welcome back to Bibleline. I'm your host, Pastor Jesse Martinez, and today we are reacting to some videos that were sent to us. This one here is from a man named Theodore Zacharyades. I think that's how you pronounce his last name. Folks, this is an edited clip. It was sent to me, and Trent looked through it to make sure that we were not misunderstanding or mischaracterizing what this man teaches and believes. I'm just going to tell you right off the bat, it is all capital letters, aggressive intellectual Calvinism. I've seen this not in person, but I've seen it online where the Calvinist, he raises himself up as some mighty intellectual to be revered and feared by man while still trying to be biblically sound and accurate. It's about a 4.5-minute clip. There's a lot that he says, and I'm just going to give two responses to him, but I think he condemns his own doctrine by the end of the video, so make sure you stick around for that. Let's get started.
What does the Bible say about free will? Well, I'm really glad that one of the opponents tonight said that it's presupposed.
All right, so I was going to say this earlier. I'm reminded to say it now. This is a clip from a debate. So you're going to see a guy in the left corner of the screen. You're going to be like, sit down. What are you doing? Like, you're in the frame of the shot. But it's actually a debate that's going on. And this guy, Theo, he is a Calvinist who is debating some free will Baptists, I think. Not sure, but that's why there's a guy on the left side of the screen, and that's why he makes that comment.
Because it cannot be demonstrated. You see, it's presupposed in the Bible. No, it's not presupposed in the Bible. The only thing that's presupposed in the Bible is God. You don't find an argument anywhere for God.
So I'll just make this statement here. Free will is presupposed in the Bible because Eve exercised her free will to disobey God, and so did Adam. Adam is actually a more clear demonstration of man choosing to disobey God. Cain and Abel. Obviously, there was enough that was known about the sacrifices which were required. Because Abel brought a proper sacrifice and Cain brought an improper sacrifice, and they were to have known the difference between the two. But the Calvinists automatically, they start from the starting point that man does not have a free will. I'm doing some work right now for a dissertation that I'm working on, and I'm studying word for word the Synod of Dort. And when you read what the Calvinist presupposes about free will, it leaves no room for a man to be accountable of anything that he does. Zero. God is the author of anything good, and God is the author and initiator and the sole motivation for anything evil, too. That's what the Calvinist brings out. But of course, that's what the Calvinist doctrine brings about. But of course, he's going to put it on man here. So, and just a headphone warning, it's about to get crazy.
Okay, but without God, you can't make sense of anything. Okay, let me tell you who this God is. He's the God of Jeremiah.
Amen.
He's the God of Isaiah.
Yes.
When you read through these books, if you're honest, do you come away after reading the book of Isaiah thinking, yeah, man can thwart God's plans, you know?
I do. I'm not trying to be cheeky or like rude or anything like that, but I do. Because I see a disobedient nation, corporately and individually, of Israel that would say they would obey God, and they are being led into captivity because they disobeyed God's plan. And you've got to make sure you recognize here, a lot of these books that Theodore, well, the two books that he mentioned here, specifically deal with Israel as a nation and her disobedience, and why that disobedience has to be corrected so that the Messiah could come through that nation. He, Theodore, maps it over everything. Listen.
He has the ability to keep God from doing something that he wants. Wow! Sorry about that. I didn't realize it was going to get that loud. Or do you come away thinking, God is almighty?
I do.
The nations are considered as nothing.
Yes, the nations are considered as nothing. Yes, God is almighty. And the nations will not be able to thwart God's plan to bring about the Messiah through Israel.
Even less than nothing. Let me ask you this. Man, who are you? Are you a member of a nation? Yes. Does it matter which nation? No, because all the nations are nothing before this God. And you, as an individual, do you think that the mighty nations through history that are nothing, indeed less than nothing before God, that you, puny man, you can thwart the will of God?
Calvinist rage intensifies. All right, let's get away from that for a second. We're going to go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to see Paul here as he speaks to Timothy, who's going to take over the ministry. He's going to be dealing with, thoughts and ideas like Theodore here. And there's a statement that is made throughout 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 6. I want you to see this. Keep in mind what Theodore just said. Do you, man, and the nations think you can thwart God's will? I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for the elect. Oh, no, it says, for all men. Verse 2, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this, the prayer, the intercession, the giving of thanks, the leading of a quiet life, and specifically praying for our leaders, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. The Calvinist cannot do that. He can't. It's against his doctrine. Verse 4 is really interesting. Who's the who here? No, I haven't turned into an owl. The sight of God our Savior, that's the who, will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. There's nothing in here that talks about the elect. This all means all. And the Christian is supposed to pray for all of those so that God's will be done, that they will come to the knowledge of the truth and get saved. Is that possible? It's not going to happen. Does that make God less than? No, it makes man disobedient. For there is one God, verse 5, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. I don't see how you can look at a statement like this passage, which is the beginning of a statement to something broader, to something more focused later on in the passage. I don't know how you look at this and come away with a Calvinistic view of doctrine. God wants all men to be saved. But the truth is, man is wicked and he can choose of his own choice to disobey God and reject Jesus Christ as his Messiah. And God is still sovereign because he will still have to stand before that God and give an account for why he did not believe. The Calvinist view of God puts that God in shackles and says, oh, man didn't believe me, so therefore, oh, I'm not really God. That's not true. I want to show you a more detailed example here in Acts chapter 26, verses 23 through 28. Paul is pouring his heart out, speaking of his conversion. He is just letting King Agrippa know what's going on, why he is who he is today. We zoom in towards the last part of this, and we see in verse 23, Paul says that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. Verse 25, but he, Paul, said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. Verse 26 is very interesting. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. Why would Paul be preaching the gospel to King Agrippa if God never chose King Agrippa? He wanted King Agrippa to come from the state of unbelief to belief. And look at King Agrippa's response of his own choice. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. And what Paul is referring to here, if you look earlier in the chapter, King Agrippa was pretty familiar with the Jewish practice and customs and even some of the prophecies, but he hadn't put them together that those were about Jesus. And look at what 28 in Acts 26 says, verse 28. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou, Paul, that thou persuadest me to be a Christian. He chose not to believe, and that's the last that we hear about King Agrippa and his faith. It would be foolish to say that, well, that's really God saying, you almost persuaded King Agrippa, but I'm going to stop him from believing. Those are the two examples that I have for you, and I'm going to let this man run circles around himself, and I'll chime in here and there. But you got to be careful with this Calvinist doctrine. And I'll just say, for the sake of it, I'm not out here, you know, lining up Calvinists. This is not my job. This is not something that, you know, I come into the office every day and say, how can I put the Calvinists in the ground? I preach the truth of God's word, and people like you that are watching, you write to me, and you're looking for answers, you're looking for truth, and I've come to find, it's in my conclusion, that what is going on in the Calvinist doctrine is the number one stunter of growth in the Christian life. Because it just teaches a lot of falsehood. It keeps the lost lost. They're not going to hear anything about the gospel because the saved are now Calvinists and they don't think that there's no need to witness to the lost because all are already chosen. What's the purpose? But I react to videos like this because this doctrine is pervasive and it is really, really confusing. But I want to show you the truth of it. So I'm going to let him talk now. I'll come in here and there.
Absolutely not. Who would dare to take such a position? Here they are, these two gentlemen have.
Hear me.
They believe that God's will to save can be thwarted by someone that is less than nothing. Why listen to this? This, according to Calvinistic history, is heresy, my friends.
Notice, according to Calvinistic history,
man can do a lot of things in this universe. We have air conditioning. Thank goodness for that, right?
Amen.
Men did that, right? Yes, through the wisdom that God gave them. But does that make us any closer to God because we have air conditioning and some person out in the jungle doesn't? Are we closer to God because we have seatbelts? Are we closer to God because we have electricity? Are we closer to God because we can do things in this world? No. Yeah, you make choices every day.
But you don't. I'm looking off camera at Trent, but you don't. You don't make choices every day. Listen to what he did. Keep that, take that, put it away, and then I'm going to bring it back in a second.
Those that believe that the imperatives of...
Oh, you know what I just noticed? That guy, he kind of smirks. One of those guys off to the side there. Because I think he realizes, ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
Of free will are surely mistaken. Let me tell you from Genesis chapter 20, where a man didn't exercise his free will like he wanted to. Here's man with his free will. Here's man wanting to sleep with this woman. He is the king of the country. He is the most powerful man in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
He can do whatever he wants. And yet God tells him, I did not let you touch her. Now,
and there's nothing wrong with that. And of course, if you're familiar with Genesis 20, it's talking about how that king wanted to sleep with that woman. But I'm going to tell you right now, God intervened. Don't forget to like, comment, and share this video. It helps the YouTube algorithm and get us in front of new people. And speaking of new people, if you're here and you haven't subscribed, hit that subscribe button and the notification bell. Set it to all so you are alerted anytime we post anything to the Bible Line YouTube channel. If you have a video you'd like us to take a look at or a Bible question, send it to us, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org. We'll do our best to get you a written response and even make a video like today's. Let's get back to today's video. He intervened and caused that man to do something that he was not going to do. Not against his own will, but there was an event that happened that changed his mind. And we have to also recognize dealing with, again, the lineage that's going on there. But I want you to see how he applies it. Remember that statement, the one he said, we make choices every day, and now he's going to talk about the ability for God to stop somebody's will to commit fornication specifically.
This is one example. There are many like it. What does the New Testament tell us? Well, of course.
And just for what it is, they never tell you the other many that are like it. They just kind of park on one thing. He literally turned over and didn't even, as if we were going to go into Genesis 20 as an example, but he just flipped over to it and then decided to say, there are many others like it, so let's just continue. Now, that may be a time constraint, but I'm just saying, you know, that is what it is.
There are, again, passages and passages and passages. The main reason that I became a Calvinist,
listen to this,
if that's the term,
it is the term,
is because I recognize that in Ephesians chapter 1, and this is one of those few places, gentlemen, where all means all.
I know exactly what's going on there. It's like, oh, look, all really does mean all. Because that is a point of contention with Calvinists. It's like in 1 John 2:2, it says, you know, but not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. For God so loved the world, you know, God would will for all men to be saved, like we saw in today's video in 1 Timothy 2:4. They have to wiggle worm out of that. Let's let him continue here.
God works all things after the counsel of his will.
He sure does.
Even keeping those kings who want to commit adultery from committing so.
Yes.
And when he wants to, he orders those to commit adultery when he wants to.
This is probably the most... This is the part of the video where I thought, yeah, that's bad. You can see he kind of winces when he refers to Ephesians 1 because he knows, like many Calvinists do, I'm going to make a statement here that sounds crazy. Well, it is crazy. He repeated it twice, and I want to see if you caught it. He said, if God wants to, he will make that man commit adultery. This is putting the origin of the desire to commit adultery on God. And he repeated it again, if he wants to. So you mean a all-righteous, all-knowing, all-loving, all-consuming God has the desire within him to commit adultery? Let that sit on your mind for a moment. You never hear anything come out of my mouth like that, because that's not the God that the Bible teaches. There is a God in him. There is no darkness whatsoever. But in the mind of the Calvinist, their God, it's part of his sovereignty. If he chooses to have sin and then put that on man, yikes. Him nodding his head. He's nodding his head because he knows. Ooh, let that sit. If anybody is in that room listening at that point, would not your red flag alert go up and say, no, that's not right. That's not right. You mean to tell me that God caused Herod to slay all the little boys 2 and under when Jesus was born? That was God's will. He wanted those children to die so that his plan could be maintained, so he made Herod do it. Okay, so you mean to tell me that God's desire was for the people in Sodom and Gomorrah to commit homosexual acts against the angels that were in Lot's house? That was God's desire, and he acted on that desire by making those men homosexual. Yeah, I'm not lining up with that. And I don't know, again, that we're hiding behind education here. Excuse me, not we, but the Calvinist hides behind education and higher thinking. This is wasteful. And I really, and we prayed before we recorded for this man to have a change of mind. But what a disgrace in depicting God this way. Shame on him.
You cannot have free will and have God know everything at the same time.
Yes, you can, because they don't differentiate between predestination and foreknowledge. Predestination is God securing the destination of those who would place their trust in Jesus Christ. Those who believed would be blessed in spiritual blessings. They would be placed in the Son. The execution of the will would happen. They would receive eternal life, and they would be destined to be in heaven with Christ forever. God has foreknowledge as well, where he can see into the future and see the choice of man. He knows it all. You know, we have to also recognize that there are things we don't understand about God, and God's got to make them understandable. That's the whole process of progressive revelation. Genesis 3:15 is the first prophecy in Scripture. Does that contain all the information that a person needs to have eternal life? It talks about what would be coming in the future. They knew what they knew at that time. It's elaborated on to Genesis 12 and to Genesis 15 and then so on and so forth. And now Israel is introduced and the line of David and the line of Christ. And then boom, the Messiah is born and he's put on a cross and he dies. He raises again 3 days later. All these things throughout the process of time, God is trying to show man, and excuse me, he is showing man, he's not trying, he's successful in his plan. He has offered the redemption to mankind. It's not because you and I are, excuse me, it's not because God is in need of that kind of control. He knows all of those who will believe and has therefore guaranteed them eternal life because they put their trust in his Son. It's not to say that he made them believe and he chose others not to believe. That's the double predestination, double election that has brought a lot against the Calvinist. God created some to heaven and he created some to hell. That's just not what the Bible teaches. This is probably the weakest part of his argument, but I'll let him finish here.
Because by definition, a future free action is unknowable.
By man, I can't know what you're going to do after you watch this video. I have zero clue, and I will never be able to know. But God does. He knows all things. See, this is man trying to wrestle with the idea of an infinitely sovereign God, an infinitely knowledgeable God. So he says, well, my definition says a future foreseeable action cannot be, whatever he says, I'm not even going to try to repeat him. It's like, duh, yeah. You can't know if I'm going to shake your hand or slap your face. You don't know. Does that mean that God doesn't know either? Come on, folks.
It's unknowable. Doesn't exist until I make my decision.
Which, again, is like interesting phrase. Interesting choice of word. Till you make your what? Your decision out of your own free will. Unless God made you sin. Oof.
Until I exercise my free will, there is nothing to know.
That's where the clip ends, and it's a good spot. I'm sorry. I'm laughing, and I'm only laughing because I can see through this, but I understand where people get confused. But I'm also, I have a little bit of relief here because I think this man has condemned himself as far as his doctrine is concerned. There's a high likelihood that that man has put his trust in Jesus Christ and he rests everything on Jesus for his eternal life, but he's fallen into a really, really bad doctrine. I don't know. I don't know much about Theodore. I haven't done much research on him. But for you that are watching, I want you to see the inconsistencies and the brazenly crazy statements about God that they make. And it's of no problem. God wants a king to sleep with a woman who's not his wife. He can make that happen. It's his desire. He will make it happen if he wants it to happen. That makes him the originator of sin. That's a problem. I want you to be able to see those things. If you have a question or you want to discuss further about these topics, write us an email, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org. It's been fun to react to videos like this. Keep them coming. Until next time, keep looking up. Jesus Christ is coming soon. Take care and God bless. If you enjoyed today's episode of BibleLine, make sure to subscribe to the channel and share this video with a friend. Do you have a Bible question? Send us an email, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org, and we'll do our best to get you an answer. Or you can leave your question in the comments of this video. Be sure to check the links in the description for more clear Bible teaching. BibleLine is a ministry of Calvary Community Church located in Tampa, Florida.